there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
The flame of love was burning high. We vowed to never let it die. But now you're growing tired of me. So let's agree to disagree. Let's agree to disagree. There's nothing left for you and me. Till you're free. So let's agree to disagree.
Confusion and chaos has once again engulfed the White House. After blindsiding his own White House staff by threatening to derail a spending bill passed and championed by his own party, the president opted to sign it and keep the government open. And then he gave what he said on Twitter was going to be a press conference where questions are taken. But it ended up turning out to be a rambling 20-plus minute diatribe.
As a matter of national security, I've signed this omnibus budget bill. There are a lot of things that I'm unhappy about in this bill. There are a lot of things that we shouldn't have had in this bill, but we were, in a sense, forced, if we want to build our military, we were forced to have. There are some things that we should have in the bill. But I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again. Nobody read it. It's only hours old. Some people don't even know what it is. $1.3 trillion. It's the second largest ever.
Was he watching TV all morning? Is he trying to change the subject away from Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, away from his alleged affairs and the money he allegedly paid to shut the women up? Or is he tired of all the upheaval headlines? Because that is what is really important today. Behind the scenes, President Trump is assembling something of a war cabinet. He's ready to go to war with China on trade. Exit Gary Cohn, enter Larry Kudlow. He's ready to go to war with Robert Mueller. Exit John Dowd, enter Joseph DeGenova. But what about an actual war? Exit H.R. McMaster, enter John Bolton. So our big question is the president looking only for the advice he wants, not the advice he needs? The White House said last week the president wanted to get his team in place as he looks ahead to a meeting with Kim Jong-un, and the choice of Bolton may be an indicator of what is to come. Just weeks ago, Bolton laid out, quote, the legal case for striking North Korea first. He also believes, quote, to stop Iran's bomb, bomb Iran.
The president should get out of the nuclear deal with Iran, should resume all of our previous sanctions, putting increased economic pressure on the regime.
I think the only diplomatic option left is to end the regime in North Korea by effectively having the South take it over.
I think this session between the two leaders could well be a fairly brief session where Trump says, tell me you've begun total denuclearization, because we're not going to have protracted negotiations. You can tell me right now, or we'll start thinking of something else.
Bolton is one of the architects of the Iraq War, a war that the candidate himself, Donald Trump, slammed.
Obviously, the war in Iraq
was a big, fat mistake.
$2 trillion. Lost thousands of incredible, young, beautiful lives.
Iraq, crooked as hell. How about bringing baskets of money, millions and millions of dollars?
I mean, you could put it as the worst decision ever made in the history of our country.
This is John Barron, publicist for Donald Trump. Oh, hey, John, how are you? It's Donald Trump. Listen, you haven't paid me in over 6 years. You owe me a lot of money, you jerk. Okay, now just slow down there, John. Listen, I missed a few payments. I don't know if you know it, but I become president. I can get you the money. Oh, how many times have I heard that, you jerk? You never pay anybody. Not only that, you use your kids as a human shield to defend against your crappy personality and low moral standing. Hey, you better step back or else I'll send a Delta Force to take you out. You understand me, John Barron? You're a dead man. Don't you threaten me. You understand what I can do? I can expose all your secrets. No, whoa, now let's slow down. Let me just get another guy in on the call here, okay? Hold on just for a second. Hello, Dennis Dennison. Yeah, hey, it's me, President Trump. Listen, I need you to talk to John Barry, and I'm putting you in on the call. Hello, Dennis Dennison. Hi, this is John Barron. Who's this? Dennis Dennison, I'm the guy who slept with Stormy Daniels. I'm a big pervert. Oh, don't give me this crap. Put the president back on the line. I can't deal with any more aliases. Alias? That was a hit show that nobody really cared about, but the truth was, it was wonderful. Who's talking right now? Is this Dennis or the president? No, this is Dennis. Now the president's still here. It's John Barron. It's all right? It's all right. It's all right. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
There's nothing left for you and me. You won't be happy till you're free. So let's agree to disagree.
Taxi! Taxi!
Uber!
Paddy wagon!
That's no way to fire a billionaire. You don't know where North Korea is!
You can't fire me! I was just here on a tour!
I can't live like this anymore.
Maybe it's time to take a good hard look in the mirror. Ooh.
Hey, not bad.
Oh, wait, that came with the room. The mirror. Don't put it off. Take a look. Oh, hello, handsome.
No, Donald, cut it out.
No time for that. You gotta be honest. For once in your life, get one thing off your chest where you were at fault. I'm not 100% consistent.
Whoa! A little weight just came off me. More, more.
You cheat at golf? You cheat on your taxes? Oh, you cheat on your wives. Come on, go for it. Here goes. You've been acting like a narcissistic sociopath, and 64% to 67% of the people hate you!
Yes! You blame other people for everything. You fired the head of the FBI just because he's taller than you. You hired Asian kids to take your test at Wharton, and you never paid them. Oh, Oh, no more guilt. Now buckle down, get off Twitter, and do a little reading. Who cares if your lips move?
Is this true? Russia's doing terrible things?
Vladimir, I'm sorry if I woke you. No, I don't care if I'm waking you.
You tiny bald fascist! Leave this great country alone!
No, Jared, it's okay. I'll brush my own teeth today.
Oh, I just thought of something else. Get Rosie O'Donnell on the phone, tell her I'm sorry, and she was great in the Flintstones movie. Melania! Melania! When you see me, I'll be a new man! Oh, that was terrible!
But a dream like that has to mean something. Find the takeaway. Donald, tweet what's deep in your heart.
Crazy Joe Biden is trying to act like a tough guy. Actually, he is weak both mentally and physically, and yet he threatens me for the second time with physical assault. He doesn't know me, but he would go down fast and hard, crying all the way, just like Stormy Daniels.
This is just what America needs, the thriller in vanilla.
This is a big story today. Joe Biden was at a rally in Miami. He was talking about Trump's alleged behavior around women, and he said...
They asked me, would I like to debate this gentleman? And I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. Any guy who talked that way was usually the fattest, ugliest SOB in the room.
And Trump, being the president, took the high road and ignored it because he's too busy running the country for stupid stuff. Oh, he didn't? Oh, no, of course he didn't. He tweeted,
while Trump is engaged in a verbal battle with Joe Biden, he's also engaged in several court battles with people who are suing him or investigating him. Now, being sued is nothing new for Donald Trump. Before becoming president, Trump and his companies were defendants in over 1,400 lawsuits. And just before he took office, he had to pay $25 million to settle a fraud lawsuit over Trump University. A university that's most popular class was likely how to settle a fraud lawsuit. Of course, Trump is already being scrutinized as part of a wide-ranging criminal investigation of his campaign, his ties to Russia, his financial entanglements, and his attempts to obstruct justice. You'd think it'd be hard to add more legal problems to that list, and yet this week, Trump has been bombarded by one lawsuit after another.
A former porn star, a former playmate, and a former contestant on The Apprentice, the three women now putting legal pressure on President Trump.
News broke this afternoon that adult film actress Stormy Daniels claimed that she had an affair with President Trump in 2006 was apparently verified by a lie detector test back in 2011.
The New York Times breaking the story that former Playboy model Karen McDougal is suing to break her silence on President Trump.
A court today also has decided a defamation case brought against the president by a third woman, Summer Zervos, can go forward. Zervos accuses the president of sexual assault, and she is suing him for calling her accusations lies.
Wow, following this presidency is like trying to binge watch entire seasons of Days of Our Lives, Law & Order, SVU, and Survivor on three TV screens at the same time. What, the porn star took a polygraph? The playmate has an identical twin? Omarosa got voted off again?
Mirrors on the ceiling, depict champagne on ice. And she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast.
At the White House, everything old is new again. As President Trump faces allegations of adulterous affairs with a porn star and a playmate, a defamation suit from a former Apprentice contestant, a record number of staff departures, and a Russia investigation that has thinned out his legal team, an air of nostalgia has begun to engulf the White House. The New York Times reports that Trump has not only stayed in touch with former White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter, but that he'd like to see the accused domestic abuser return to the West Wing. Sound familiar? Probably because you've read similar headlines about the return of Michael Flynn, or the return of Reince Priebus, or the return of Corey Lewandowski. And because you also might be hearing about another person that Trump might want back right now, amid news that two more attorneys have rejected overtures by the White House to defend the president in the Russia investigation, there's talk that former Trump attorney Mark Kasowitz could be rehired to serve on the president's defense team.
The president of the United States does not have a criminal defense lawyer. That is a terrible predicament for him. I mean, if I had clients or friends or associates that were even being investigated for shoplifting, the first thing I'd be telling them is get yourself a lawyer.
Fact is, this is really an unprecedented situation where the president of the United States is having difficulty getting a first-class legal team.
You're not going to find a lawyer who wants to take on a client who's going to completely ignore good, sound counsel. No one wants that. That's a dangerous client.
So the big question we're asking today, is Trump's old strategy his only strategy because he can't find qualified people who want to work for him? Does anyone ever truly leave the Trump orbit? And why not if they don't?
Yeah, the Hotel California analogy is an apt one. It's been used several times to describe the Trump operation because he tires of people quickly, and then as soon as they're gone, he wants their feedback and he starts to warm to them again. It's why do people not stick in this White House or on this campaign or on his legal team? It's simple. It's because Donald Trump is an almost impossible boss and client. He doesn't really take counsel. He doesn't listen to too many advisors. He thinks he's his own best communicator, his own best strategist, the smartest guy in any room.
Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the nightman. We are programmed.
Another day, another rejection. From the Washington Post, quote, a prominent Chicago defense attorney said Monday that he had declined an invitation to lead President Trump's legal team, responding to special counsel Robert S. Mueller's Russia investigation, underscoring the president's difficulty in attracting top legal talent to represent him in the probe. Aside from being an impossible client, the president's legal situation could be more dire than it appears. Yesterday, we reported that four former senior Justice Department officials thought that the fact that last week's candidates for the job, Joe DiGenova and Victoria Tensing, were conflicted out suggested that their client, former Trump legal team spokesman Mark Corallo, had offered testimony damaging to Trump. In new reporting from Vanity Fair, Neil Katyal, a former acting solicitor general under President Obama, has this provocative analysis. Quote, the conflict of interest issue was apparent on Tuesday, and yet we were told they were joining the team and that Mark Corallo, the person with the most significant conflict, had waived any concern. Then Dowd resigns Thursday, and yet by Sunday, DiGenova and Tensing are gone, leaving the president with only two lawyers. Katyal goes on to offer an intriguing theory.
which Vanity Fair reports. That strange development Katyal posited to me suggests that Bob Mueller may have intervened. Diligent prosecutors, when they see a defendant doing something profoundly dangerous to their self-interest, will raise it with the defendant and suggest they rethink it. If it did happen, it would strongly suggest that Mueller is formally thinking of Trump as a target of his investigation.
It's a skeleton staff legal team right now that they can't find anyone. I mean, you'd think representing the President of the United States would be, especially one who has plenty of money to pay you, would be the prestigious, the sort of the pinnacle of your career. And he can't get anyone in there to do this. And I think that is setting off alarm bells even further.
But come on, this is like the greatest sitcom ever. Imagine, like, you've got some stumblebum lawyer in Oxford, Mississippi, you know, in an office on the second floor across from the courthouse, and, you know, suddenly his door opens, and there is Donald Trump saying, I need you to represent me. I mean, that's where this is going.
It's
going
to Chicago.
Sooner or later, this is going to happen. If you want your exponential growth, guys are going to get busted. Simple as that.
So how about we get him a real attorney? I mean, what the hell is this? This is who he hires?
What? Are you kidding me? This is the guy you want. This is the guy I'd hire.
Oh, it's the guy you'd hire.
Dudes like Houdini. Seriously, when the going gets tough, you don't want a criminal lawyer, right? You want a criminal lawyer. Know what I'm saying?
Clearly, his taste in women is the same as his taste in lawyers, only the very best, with just the right amount of dirty. There's no honor among thieves, except for us, of course.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Hey, there is more news on the Stormy Daniels front.
60 Minutes aired Anderson Cooper's exclusive interview with porn star Stormy Daniels, which drew the highest ratings for 60 Minutes in 10 years. That means Stormy Daniels got higher ratings than Donald Trump did right after he was elected president. The interview covered everything. The president had sex with a porn star, she spanked him with a magazine with his face on it, he didn't wear a condom, later they watched Shark Week, then his lawyer paid her to keep her mouth shut, and now Trump's suing this porn star for $20 million.
Daniels says she was threatened by a man who approached her in Las Vegas.
I was in a parking lot going to a fitness class with my infant daughter. I was taking, you know, the seats facing backwards in the back seat, diaper bag, you know, getting all the stuff out. And a guy walked up on me and said to me, leave Trump alone, forget the story. And then he leaned around and looked at my daughter and said, it's a beautiful little girl. It'd be a shame if something happened to her mom. And then he was gone.
Hey, nice house. I said, nice house. You live there? Little girl's having a birthday, huh?
Yes.
Nice to have a family.
Yes, it is.
Man should take care. See that nothing happens to you.
It's an insane, salacious tale about a sitting president and the least surprising story I have ever heard.
You're watching 60 Minutes. Here's Anderson Cooper.
Her birth name is Stephanie Clifford, but elementary school history books will forever refer to her as Stormy Daniels. In 2006, she allegedly had sex with a recently married Donald Trump, his chin dripping with a Lipitor bull hormone cookie dough milkshake. Then, she accepted $130,000 to stay silent about what Americans already instinctively knew in their amygdala hindbrain. Here now is President Trump's side of the story.
Stormy Daniels is lying, unless she says I'm a wildcat in bed, in which case it's all true.
If this didn't happen, why did she receive $130,000 from Michael Cohen, your lawyer, who always looks like he just realized he ate some bad clams?
The money was consolation for missing out on the most intense orgasmic sexual awakening of her life. I approach lovemaking like I approach the breakfast buffet. Me first, and always a guy nearby making omelets.
Do you plan to pay back your lawyer?
Nope.
Stormy Daniels claims you did not sign the non-disclosure agreement.
I was too busy planning Space Force. Isn't it great that cops, teachers, and astronauts are now militarized? Hey, IRS agents, get ready for calculators that shoot 20 rounds a second.
Does Stormy Daniels have compromising pictures and videos of you? And how much are you looking forward to seeing Mike Pence's face after they're released?
I've seen the photos, and it's clearly not my penis. No part of me appears on camera without several ladles of Maybelline Superstay Foundation.
Sir, this allegedly occurred 1 year after you married Melania.
She's the foreign one with the brown hair.
Right, but me and my pregnant wife hadn't really defined the relationship. Even at the wedding, we were like, where is this going?
We've obtained audio of an alleged encounter between you and Miss Daniels.
Can you believe this hotel room? Is this the softest robe you've ever felt, or what?
Donald, focus.
Would you look at that bathtub? And there's a whole other room over there!
Donald, shut up and stop fidgeting.
Keep it down. I ordered chicken fingers before you got here and need to hear the...
Off! I'm here! Don't leave!
Whispering sounds of silence.
Largely silent.
Silent.
President not saying something, not tweeting, not punching back. Nothing at all about Stormy Daniels.
Silence in the face of a major attack on primetime TV. From the Stormy Daniels interview, and Trump publicly quiet even amidst new leaks today that he's eager to defend himself, that he's increasingly frustrated with the wall-to-wall media coverage of Stormy Daniels, the silence itself drawing attention at the White House today.
Why the silence? Is someone advising him to be silent, or is he following his own
advice?
I don't
think it's silent when the president has addressed this. We've addressed it extensively. There's just nothing else to add. Just because you guys continue to ask the same question over and over and over again doesn't mean that we have to keep coming up with new things to say. We've addressed it. We've addressed it extensively, and there's nothing new to add to this conversation.
Washington Post reporting a different story, that Trump did watch the much-anticipated Sunday interview on 60 Minutes, that he's now peppering aides with questions like what they thought and calling the allegations themselves a hoax, and adding that Daniels wasn't credible because, he says, allegedly, Daniels is not the type of woman he finds, quote, attractive. A discipline somewhat notable, Trump discussing Stormy Daniels less than his own Attorney General Jeff Sessions or Mitch McConnell on Twitter.
If the president is trying to avoid one thing above all, is to be deposed. There's a chance he's going to get deposed anyway. But if he gets, given the way that Avenatti has behaved, he's throwing lawsuits left, right, and center on this. If Donald Trump goes on Twitter and says, she's a liar, it never happened, he's going to slap Donald Trump with a defamation suit, just like he slapped Michael Cohen with a defamation suit the other day. And it just increases the odds that Trump ends up in a courtroom being deposed, which does seem like the one thing Trump is trying to avoid more than anything right now.
The president has a brilliant new defense. He's telling people that Stormy Daniels isn't his type. What? What kind of defense is that? I would never cheat on my wife with her.
8 more women. That's the number of women Stormy Daniels' lawyer now says have approached him with stories about President Trump.
Evidently, the scandal is starting to affect Trump's reputation in Washington.
People are referring to him here in Washington behind his back by a new nickname. He's famous for giving nicknames. He's now known as Spanky.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.